Oh, we're holding on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Still talking about this case where he shechted an animal and found an unborn baby in the womb, where so far we've been saying that, according to the Chachamim in our Mishnah, if the baby is dead or otherwise non-viable, then everybody agrees that the mother's shechita is matir. It's considered to be like Torah of her. But if the baby is independently able to be alive, then Rav Meir would hold that it actually requires its own shechita, and the Chachamim will say that it's not. So we were learning yesterday a number of different questions about to what extent, according to the Meir or according to the Chachamim, would we consider this baby to be something independent? Is it Chelev Osir? Is it Gida Nosha Osir? We talked about whether the blood of it, whether a person is chayiv kares for the blood of it, etc. So now the Gemara says he borrowed it. Now we have a question: Mali limnus rishin v'shem. Would we consider? Suppose that the meat of the mother becomes tamei. Suppose that an ava tuma touches the meat of the mother. Now, would we consider the baby is considered exactly part of the mother, and therefore both of them, mother and baby, become a rishon l'chuma, or would we count rishon and sheni? Would we say the mother becomes a rishon, the meat of the mother becomes a rishon l'chuma, and the meat of the baby becomes a sheni l'chuma? Rashi explains we're talking about when it's a 9-month baby and it's alive, and you have different the Balamur explains that the question is where it's 8 months but it's alive, according to both Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and when it's 9 months and alive according to the Chachamim. If it's dead, then for sure it's going to be one goof. But the question would be even if it's an 8-month baby, if it's alive. In fact, Marsha understands Rashi to be saying like that also, that as long as it's alive, then the question is still going to come. So Rabbi Yochanan and Amar Morin by Rishon v'Sheni, Rabbi Yochanan says we will count Rishon and Sheni. So the meat of the mother will become a Rishon, and the meat of the baby then will become a Sheni. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says no, you don't count Rishon and Sheni. Both the mother and the baby become a rishon l'chuma. Nasa ke'egas amaskashkish ketubasle. It's the equivalent of a nut that's rattling around inside its shell. Now we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about shells and peels and other things like that of fruits, which are called a shomer. They protect the fruit, and therefore they're able to become tamei along with it, or tumma will be transmitted in either direction. If tumma touches the shell, then the nut meat will become tamei, and vice versa. If tumma touches the nut meat, then the shell will become tamei. We'll talk about all those dinim later in the Masechta. Well, the same way, in other words, the mother, in effect, is a shomer to the baby. Of course, the difference is a nutshell is not edible, and the mother is, but that doesn't make a difference, says Shlakish. Okay, so the Gemara says, a straight of Shimon Lakish Lodiyach. And then so the Shlakish says, Lodiyach, I have a question on you that you're telling me that the baby is considered a separate entity from the mother, and therefore that the Chuma, and therefore that the mother will become a Rishon L'chuma in our case, and the baby will become a Sheni L'chuma. But a couple of Mishnayos ago, we had the case where the baby stuck out a limb, and then he shechted the mother, and then cut off that limb. So we had a machlokas in the Mishnah, Bosom Maga Nevela Divir Meir. The Meir says the rest of the meat of the baby is considered as though it touched Nevela, and therefore it becomes a Rishon L'chuma. Divir Meir, V'cham Maga Trefa Shlota. Whereas the Chum said it's only the equivalent of touching shreik of meat that was shechted, that underwent bakal shechita. Whereas we said, as we learned before, there's no tuma in it, deraisa, and even derabanan, there's only a tuma as far as kodshim. Now let's focus not so much on the touching, let's focus on, of course, in order for food to be able to become tuma, it has to be mukshu the kabal tuma. It has to have been wedded with one of the shivamash. Well, says the Shlokish, the Shlema the Didiga Minachad Gufu. Well, then it's well, according to me, that I say the baby is considered one goof with the mother. So where was the Hechshur L'Kabal Tumah? And it is Stashab Dama Dime. Well, therefore, the baby became Mukshur L'Kabal Tumah with the blood of the mother, because it's considered one entity together with the mother. The mother, of course, has blood circulating throughout her body, and therefore, the moment of the Shlita, then you have blood comes, and then during the Shlita, blood comes pouring out and touches part of the meat, and once it touches part of it, then it touched all of it, and therefore it includes the baby as well. And that explains, therefore, how now the baby is able to, and the meat of the baby is able to be metabol truma. And now we can talk about what happens when that touches the piece that stuck out of the mother's womb, which was awesome. But says Rish Lakish to this, and according to you, Ramai is Kasha. How did it ever become Moksha? Metabol truma in the first place. Now he was also where you have a discussion about again what kind of this is actually where the Bala Mur brings this proof that if we're going to talk about if you're asking points of the Chachamim, then you don't need a Hechsher Kabbal Tuma, so therefore that shows that we're talking about actually so the Bala Mur gives a whole explanation that from that we see that we're talking about as long as the baby is alive, whether it's in the 8th month or the 9th. As opposed to a point to Rashi, we're focusing mainly on when it's a 9-month one. And according to Maharsha understands in Rashi that it is also including an 8-month baby as well. Anyway, so the point is, Rashi says to Rabbi Yochanan, how would that machlokas work in the first place, whether it's considered that it touched something touched Nevela or touched Shefa, as the case may be. Either way, according to either one of them, it has to have been wedded with one of the Shiva Mashkin, and you don't have that over here, if according to you. The answer is, it will become Moksha Kabbal Tuma just by virtue of the Shechita itself, according to Rav Shimon. We had on the second parak of Amasek, we had a case where you shechted an animal and no blood came out. Which, by the way, I mean, considering we learned earlier in the Masechta that all you need to do is cut the windpipe and the esophagus, you don't necessarily, in practice, in Shutta, you tend to cut the arteries and the jugular veins as well. So in practice, a lot of blood comes gushing out. But in principle, it could happen without that. So then, nevertheless, though, in the Mishnah over there, Rav Shimon had said that even though no blood came out, Rav Shimon said the Shita alone is Makshur at Lekabal Tumah. The basic idea being, in other words, Hechsher Lekabal Tumah means that the thing has to have the status of food in Halacha in order for it to be able to be Lekabal Tumah. So normally it has to be wedded with one of the Shiva Mashkin in order to have that status. Here, Rav Shimon is saying just the Shita alone, the fact that the Shita makes it Mutar to eat, makes it already Mutar Lekabal Tumah as well. In a similar case, we had in that connection, we learned earlier in the Masechta about Chivas HaKodesh, about the case where you have meat of Kodshin just because it's Kodshin, the freshness of it makes it Mutar Lekabal Tumah even without being wedded. So therefore, according to the Shimon, we don't need any blood to come out, and therefore, according to the Shimon, the same way as a Shifa is mocked to the mother, the same way it's mocked to the baby. But the fact is, it's also mocked with a Kabbal Tumah, and therefore, if it's touching some part, if itself is considered Eid Menachai, the Shifa, as the case may be, then it's going to become Tumah. Okay. Now I have a contradiction to you. You who are saying that the baby and the mother are considered one entity, and the tumah that applies to the mother, the same degree of tumah applies to the baby. Abraisa says, suppose that, so now you have this 9-month baby that was found inside the womb when the mother was shechted, and it was found alive and it grew up eventually. And now over Banahar, if now this baby walks through a river, Huchsher, now it becomes Muchsher, the Kabbal Tumah, by virtue of being wedded with the water of the river. And now if this live animal goes to a cemetery, Nitma, then it will become Tumah. Now, even though, in other words, usually a live animal is not able to be Mekabel Tumah, but here, in effect, we're not considering it alive. In effect, we're considering it as though it was already shechted, because after all, that's the whole idea, according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah, anyway, and the Halacha is like them, that this baby born, that this baby found alive in the womb is able to be eaten without its own shechita. By the way, there are Rishonim who learn that fine, you at least have to use some kind of process of killing it. You can't just, for example, if it dies on its own, you might not be able to eat it. Other Rishonim disagree. In any case, the point is, shchita definitely doesn't need But now we're saying, so now the point is, in other words, in effect, it's already considered meat, as we had in the Gemara yesterday. It's considered as though meat, it's meat that's in a basket already. So therefore, so now it's able to be mukshal, the Kabbal Torah, and now it's able to become Torah. Says Rav Yochanan to Rosh Lakish, Bishlemu di Damin a Tregu Fininu. Now, according now, it's well according to me that I say the mother and the baby are considered two different bodies. So therefore, when the mother was shechted, the baby did not automatically become Mukshal a Kabbal Torah because, it itself didn't get wedded with one of the Shiva Mashkin. So therefore, Mishum Hachi, Uchshar, Ain, it was Mishum Hachi, Uchshar Ain, one Uchshar Boy. Therefore, it's easy to understand why only if it goes through the river and becomes wet over there, will it be Mukshal a Kabbal Torah, but otherwise not. But you, the Shlokish, who are saying that anyway the baby and the mother are considered one guf, didn't become muksha with the blood that came out of the mother during the shchita. So according to you, why does it need to go through a river? And the answer is, the shchita yaveshta, because we're talking about where it was a dry shchita, no blood in fact came out. And you know what? This braisa is not like Reb Shimon. Before Reb Yochanan would answer Rish Lakish's objection about the Uliu Mishnah, that it was according to Reb Shimon. And now we're going to say that on the contrary, this braisa that Rish Lakish is quoting against Reb Yochanan is quoting against Rish Lakish, then Rish Lakish will say, it's not like Reb Shimon, you need actual blood to be makshirit, and since no blood came out of here, neither mother nor baby are mokshir l'kabal trauma, and therefore only later on, when the baby grows up and wades through the river, only then is it going to be mokshir l'kabal trauma. Fine. The Gemara says Mantana over Beno Hochshir Holach Rebeis Akvaris Nitma. Which Tana is it in fact that says this? That if it walks through the river, then it became Mukshir LeKabal Torah, and now if this animal goes to the Beis Akvaris, it becomes Tomei. In other words, even though it's alive, you know, which Tana is it that would say such a thing? That a live animal like that an ostensibly live animal like that is able to be Mekabel Torah? Now, fine. In other words, the point is, we seem to be saying that LaHalacha, we don't consider it alive. We consider it as though it was already shechted, and it's basically just a dead animal walking. But which Tana actually says that explicitly? So Rabbi Yechon says that would be specifically Rabbi Yisrael Zili. The Tanya, the Mishim Minalaza, Omer Mishim Rabbi Yisrael Zili, the Tama Chumas Erslin, the Ben Tkua, this animal that was found alive in the womb, it is able to contract the tumor of food. So when it's alive, it touches something that would make it tame, then it becomes tame. The Tzorech Hesher, and it requires Hesher, a Kabbal Tumah. So now, again, not like Reb Shimon, who says that the shchita of the mother would be enough, so therefore it needs another hechsher. Now, again, it can't be that it was from the blood of the shchita, because again, the blood of the shchita touched only the mother, it didn't touch the baby. Where's the Chachamim against Rabbi Yisrael Lili say, Eini Matama Tumas Erchlin of Nei Shulchai. It's not Matama Tumas Erchlin because it's alive. The whole Shulchai, Eini Matama Tumas Erchlin, anything which is alive is not able to have Tumas Erchlin. Now Rashi points out that even the Chachamim and this Braiso disagree with Rabbi Yisrael Lili as far as Tumah. They agree with the Chachamim of On Mishnah that the fact is, when you shechted the mother, then this baby became mutter to eat. Unlike Rabbi Meir, who said that the baby would need a separate shechita. Nevertheless, they say the fact is, on the one hand, you don't have to shecht it. It's true because the shechita of the mother was not there. On the other hand, the fact is, it is alive in front of us. So even biologically, it is alive. So we're not concerned with the halakhic status of it. Biologically, it's alive, and therefore it's not able to be mekabel trauma. In other words, it actually summarizes the machlokas between Rabbi Yosi and Lili and the Chachamim in this braisa. You should not think is maps onto the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim and our Mishnah. No, we're talking within the view of the Chachamim that the 9-month baby is mutter. Within that, we have this argument whether it's able to be mekabel trauma, provided that it has hechsher, or whether it's not, as long as it's physically alive. Okay. Now, the Gemara points out, the Avdi Rabbi Yochanan Taimei. Now, in this regard, Rabbi Yochanan is going according to his own, shita, in understanding Rabbi Yisrael Glili, that way. To Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yisrael Glili, or Vishamai, Amr Dover Echad. Rabbi Yisrael Glili and Vishamai are both saying the same thing, that when you have a creature that doesn't require shita, that it's able to be metabol truma when it's alive. So in other words, that helps clarify the fact that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that. If we didn't have Rabbi Yochanan saying that, again, we might have thought maybe Rabbi Yosef really, in this Braisa, holds that Rabbi Meir, that the animal actually requires its own shtita. Or rather, that the Rabbanan, the Chachamim against Rabbi Yosef really, the fact that they're saying it's not Matamat Chumas Eichon, because it's alive, maybe they agree with Rabbi Meir, it's alive to the extent that it requires shtita. Note, if you realize that both they and Rabbi Yosef really agree that it is mutter without shtita, the only question is whether the fact that it's alive makes a difference. But we see Rabbi Yosef really says the fact that it's alive doesn't make a difference, and it's still able to be Matamat Chumas, and we see Rabbi Yochanan says that Beis Shammai holds the same thing. Rabbi Yosef really hold down Moran, we just said Rabbi Yosef really's opinion. Beis Shammai, Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah, Dogim, Me'emasai, Metabol, and Choma. At what point are fish able to be Metabol, Choma? Now, fish, of course, are pretty much, by definition, Mukshal, Metabol, Choma, because they live in the water, and therefore, the water on them, when you take them out of the water, there's going to be water on them, and therefore, they're going to be Mukshal, Metabol, Choma by virtue of that. But at what point are they metabol truma? With Shama and the Mishit Soit. With Shama says once you catch them. Now does that mean if you catch them in and still and they're still in the water, like you put a net in the water and they're trapped in the net? Some of the Poshim explain like that, because after all, it doesn't require shita, so there's nothing more you need to do. On the other hand, Yaakov writes that, on the other hand, the Tiferes Yisrael explains that no, we're talking about when you took the fish out of the water. In any case, even though now it doesn't require shtita, so at that point, once you've caught it, then it's already considered dead. Mishiyamusu says only when the fish actually dies. Rabbi Akiva says, Mishah ke'en yichoyim lichyos. Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't have to be, not necessarily they're actually dead, but just when they've gotten to the point where they're no longer going to live. Which we'll see in a second what the definition of that is. Meaning, in other words, you catch a fish, but then if you put it back into the water within a couple of minutes, then it'll still survive. On the other hand, then you have, when it's been out of the water long enough, then as we'll see in a second, then there comes a point when even if you put it back into the water, it won't survive, and Rabbi Akiva says that's the point at which it's Makabal Jumbo. So Gemara says, my binayu, what is the practical difference between them? Who's the them? Rashi explains that it means between Bishilol and Rabbi Akiva. In other words, Basil is saying when it's dead. Rabbi Akiva says when it's not going to be able to live. Doesn't that amount to the same thing? And the answer is when the fish is still convulsively moving, when it's still thrashing around, it's not yet dead, but it's reached the point, and Rashi points out, where you have an area between its fins the size of a sella, which is a type of coin, as we've learned in the previous fetter, when an area that size has dried up. Once that happens, and the Gemara tells us in Tainus and also in Shabbos, at that point the fish, even if you threw it back into the water, is not going to be able to survive because it's dried up to that extent. So according to this hill, it's still not Makabal Truma yet. The fact is it's still alive, because it's still flapping around. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's able to be Makabal Truma because at that point it's already reached the point of no return. Now, that's the point of Rashi. The point is, in other words, we see that Beis Shammai says, even though the fish is alive, it's still able to be Mechabal Trumps. Now, when we say Mai Benayhu, Dog Mechautea, so again, according to Rashi, the Mai Benayhu is between Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva. What's the difference between them? According to Tosfos points out that no, it seems fairly obvious. Beis Hillel says that when they're actually dead, and Rabbi Akiva says when it's about to be dead. No, Tosfos says the Mai Benayhu means what's the difference between Beis Shammai and Rabbi Akiva? Both of them are saying that the fish is able to be Mechabal Truma while it's still alive, so what's the difference? And the answer is that, so according to Rashi, Dog Mechautea, according to Rashi, Mechautea means that it's just like flapping, or that it's just like flopping around and convulsively moving around, thrashing around or whatever, but as opposed to Tosfos, no, look, that Mechautea means it's actually jumping very forcefully. And in fact, in the famous poem Akdomos said in many Kehillos, they say on Shavuos before Kriyas HaTorah, when it talks over there about the ultimate battle between the Levyasan and the Shor HaBor, and the expression in there is Yakarta Nun Lekivlei, the fish will Yakarta against the Shor HaBor. And your character, but it doesn't just mean to thrash, it means it'll jump up forcefully. So that maybe supports Tosfos's point that Makautea in the Gemara over here also means that it jumps forcefully. So the fish is still very forcefully jumping around. Nevertheless, the point of this Shama, it's out of the water and already it's the Makabel Chumah. There is a point of the Bakteva, it still wouldn't be the Makabel Chumah, because at this point, if you throw it back in the water, it'll very much live and then swim away. Tosfos does actually bring a couple of examples of that. When you see it, the word makarteya does mean to jump around, jump or dance around. They don't bring from Akdamos, but possibly, of course, the author of Akdamos, the mayor Shliach Tzibur, very probably used those sources themselves. Actually, one of them is in fact a pasuk regarding the Leviathan. So, sort of mayor Shliach Tzibur, who wrote Akdamos, probably borrowed the phrase from there. Anyway, the point is, according to Tosfos, that's the difference. According to Rashi, the Gemara is saying that according to this Shammai, even though the fish is fully alive, but because it's trapped or out of the water, according to the different Achronim, then it's already Makabel Chumah. According to Rabbi Akiva, it would have to be, according to Rashi, the point that it reached a point where it's starting to dry out, where a cell of it is dry, and then it's Makabel Chumah. According to this, only when it's completely dead. Whereas according to Tosfos, the vote would be according to this Shammai, even though it's still jumping around forcefully, and still very much alive, it's Makabel Chumah. According to Rabbi Akiva, at that point, it's already considered dead because it is out. So no, according to this Shammai, it is Makabel Chumah, because even though it's still moving around very forcefully and jumping around, it still is out of the water. According to Rabbi Akiva, no, because at that point, if you threw it into the water, it would still live. And according to him, only when you reach the point where it won't live anymore, and still only when it's actually dead. Okay, the point is that the point is we see that Rabbi Yochanan is telling us. So we see that the Shammai holds that a fish can be makabel chumah when it's alive. Why? Because fish don't require shita. By the same token, Rabbi Yochanan is understanding Rabbi Yisraeli to be saying the same kind of thing. When you have an animal named Ben Fur that doesn't require shita, then it's able to become tamei while it's alive, and therefore he explains the braisa earlier in that vein. Whereas again, the chachamim are saying it's not that we hold that the animal requires shita; we don't hold like the mayor in the mishnah. However, we do say that because it's biologically alive, it's not able to be makabel chumah. So being machshir makabel chumah while it's alive makes no difference. Okay. Speaking of fish and their chumah, boyer of chista, know that the dogim simone treifema. What happens if the question would be specifically according to Rabbi Akiva that was saying once the fish has reached the point where it's not going to live, then it's makabel chumah. Well, what about according to Rabbi Akiva? What happens if the fish develops simone treifa? The same treifas, not all the same treifas that apply to animals or birds that we learned from the previous pedic are going to apply to fish, of course. But some of them will. Let's say, for example, if its internal organs get punctured. So what happens, for example, if that happens to this fish? Mahu, what we've again, would it be considered, according to Rabbi Akiva, dead, and therefore makabel chumah? You can merely ask this question, according to either of the opinions that we learned in the previous parak, whether a treifa is going to be able to live long term or not. You can ask according to the opinion that a treifa is able to live. You could argue behemahud in a fish of chayusa, because an animal has a great deal of chayus. It's a large creature. It takes a lot to kill it. So therefore you could say that even though it has some kind of defect that makes it a treifa, nevertheless it has enough energy in its body to be able to survive long term. We could argue fish have less of a chayus to there, have less of a chayus to them, because after all they're smaller creatures. So maybe not. When they become treifa, then they're automatically considered dead. Or maybe even according to the opinion that a treifa does not live long term, and therefore you should say, well, according to that opinion, shouldn't it be obvious if the fish becomes treifa, has simone treifa, automatically should be considered dead? Maybe not. On the other hand, maybe that applies specifically to an animal where shita is relevant to it. When it becomes treifa, then shita is no longer going to be able to be matured. But you could argue that by fish, was shtita is not relevant to them. So therefore, so maybe tzreifas are not relevant either. So only when it actually becomes, only when it actually dies. So maybe when it actually, only when it actually dies is it considered, or when it reaches a point, an irreversible point, a point in Shinar Bat Keva. So maybe that would be the case. And the Gemara says, "Take, well, we can't be sure. So what would Rabbi Akiva hold about that? In that machlokas about the fish, the halacha is like this hillel that only when the fish actually dies. So in that case, this machlokas is on the this is the, in that case this question of the chistes is relevant only within Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Okay. Next. Getting back to the unborn baby, so getting back to the shlil. So now, till now we've been talking about where the baby was born alive. Now, what about hitila nefet? What happens if the pregnant animal miscarries an 8-month baby, which is incompletely formed? So what's the din as far as the chelav of it? Are you allowed to eat it? Rabbi Yochanan, the chelav of the chelav behema, Rabbi Yochanan says the chelav of that baby is going to be also just like the chelav of any regular animal, which is chayav parts. But if Shimon Lokashon, the chelav of the chelav chayav, Yishlokish says that the chelav will be like the chelav of chayav, so there won't be chorus, so the whole thing will be also as nevela. But the whole thing will be also as nevela, but there won't be any specific issur on the chelav of it any more than any other part of it. Now Tosfos points out where before we said we talked about a baby that was found alive in the ninth, when it was found alive after 9 months, but that was it, the mother was shechted and therefore the baby was shechted. Here we're talking about the mother miscarried the baby, and therefore it came out before shvita, so therefore there's no question you can't eat it. But the question is whether the chelav would have a separate status. Rashi explains that we're talking about that before we were talking about where lo yotza la'aver hadn't come out into the air of the world before the shvita. Whereas here we're talking about but over here we're talking about that it was born, that it was miscarried. Basically the same thing as Tosis. So what's the reasoning behind the machalikas? Rabbi Yochanan machelbet chelav behema. Rabbi Yochanan says the chelav of it is like the chelav of any regular animal, and a person is chayiv kardes for eating it. Avir garden, he holds that just the fact that it came out into the air of the world is enough to make it an animal. And as soon as it's born, it becomes also. Had it remained in the womb, then it would have remained mutter with the mother's shritta. But here, where it came out, then already it becomes, it's, as it is, it's also of nevela, and therefore it becomes like any regular animal, where therefore the chelav is also. Reb Shimon, Lokas Amach, Chelav Chelav Chaya, there's a shlok which says the chelav is going to be like the chelav of a wild kosher animal, because Chadoshin Garmi, he says it's not enough that it just came out into the world, you also need that it was full term, and here it was not, here it was born in the 8th month, it was premature. Therefore, he says that it's not considered a full-fledged animal, therefore the chelav of it is going to be also as part of the rest of the baby, it's going to be neveva, but it's not going to be chayav karis. So that's one version of the machlokas. Ikadamri, another version of machlokas, goes as follows. When it was premature, then everybody would agree it's not considered an animal, and the chelav of it would not be also, where the chelav of it would be also, because the whole thing of it is also, but it wouldn't be chayav karnis. But according to the second version, if it's not full term, then it's not a full-fledged animal, and there's no chayav of karnis on the chelav. The machlokas would be where a person stuck his hand into the innards of the mother animal, into the womb, the tolash chelav shom ben tishachai, he tore off some chelav of a 9-month alive baby that was in there, for all and he ate it. Now the question would be, is he chayav karnis? Rabbi Yochanan, a chelav chelav behema, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that at this point, the chelav of this baby is considered like the chelav of any other animal, and he's chayav karnis. Chadoshim Garmi, because he says the month, once it's full term, once you have 9 months of pregnancy, 5 months for sheep and goats, then already it's considered a full-fledged behemoth, and therefore the chelav is also. Now, had you shechted the mother without tearing off that tailor, sure, it would be mutter, as we learned yesterday. Rabbi Yehuda would allow it, as we learned yesterday when we talked about the tailor of it. Rabbi Yehuda would allow it because Rabbi Meir would disallow it, and then because, well, Rabbi Meir anyway would say the animal requires shechita of its own. Rabbi Yehuda would say not only does it not require shechita, but the tailor of it would actually be mutter. But over here, where you tore off some from the womb and then took it out, so now it's not going to be, so now a person eats it, he's going to be chayav karas for it. Says it's not going to be mutter together with the mother, and therefore it's full fledged chayav, according to Reb Yechon. Reb Shimon, Lakish Oma, chel, but chayav chayav, whereas Reb Shlokish says the chayav of it is like the chayav of a wild animal. He says, chadoshim ba'avir agarmi, it's not enough just that it's full term. It also needs to be, that it came out into the world. And therefore the chelem of it is not going to be also yet because it did, the baby is, so the baby, because the baby is still inside the womb. So again, Rashi explains, and Tosfos explains similar, that Rabbi Yochanan is talking even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who said the chelem of a ben tekua is mutter, but that would only be when it was in the womb at the time of Shita. But now you took it out, then Rabbi Yehuda would agree it's awesome. As far as how Reish Lakish, whether Reish Lakish is saying specifically according to Rabbi Yehuda, or whether he's saying according to Rabbi Meir as well, different Rishonim disagree on that point. So in other words, even Rabbi Meir, who holds the chedav of a shlilah's also, he would say that's because when it's born, then it's something can consider like a behemoth, but it hasn't been born yet, it's still in the womb, and therefore maybe you could argue the chedav of it is not also yet. So it's also in general, but maybe not also specifically under the category of chelem. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Eisfid of Yerchan and Rav Shimon Lach." So Rav Yerchan says to Rav Shimon Lach, "I have a contradiction to you from a Braise." The Braise is talking like this: we know the Torah tells us for most korbanos you have to take out the chelem and burn it separately on the mizbeach. Yeah, in the case of an olah, you don't do that. But in the case of all the other, in the case of virtually all other korbanos, you have to take out the chelem and burn it separately on the mizbeach. Now, when the pasuk says that you have to take out by shlomim, it says eskalachelad asher ala kered. You have to take out all the fat that is on the innards. That means to exclude the chelav of a shlil. Now, then you would think so easy. So you don't have to be makruv. Now you don't need to. So now you would think, continues the brayser. So the brayser in Torah's koyanim, you would think there's no punishment of kores and there's no warning not to eat that chelav of the shlil. But maybe there would be a mitzvah to actually offer it on the mizbeach. But no, then by an Oshem it also says you have to bring the Chelev and the Shteach lawyers. And then it goes on to make a Kavah Chomer that by an Oshem, an Oshem is always sheep, and you always therefore have to bring the tail on the Mizbeach. How much more so it requires Chelev and Shteach lawyers? So why does the Pasuk have to stress it means by an Oshem means also to tell us not a Shlil. Now an Oshem can never have a Shlil because an Oshem is always a male animal. So the point is, the Braise says deriving over there. So the Braise says deriving. How we know that you don't have to be makriv the chelav or shtei kloyus and whatnot of the shlil. So now the Braise continues. So the Braise in the middle says ma chelav or shtei kloyus hamuris v'osham mutzim mikval shlil. Now when the Torah tells us that by an osham where you have to offer the chelav and you have to offer the two kidneys on the mizbeach mutzim mikval shlil, that clearly excludes a shlil. Because by an osham, there's no such thing as a shlil. An osham is always a male animal that's never going to have a baby in its womb. Ach kol mutzim mikval shlil, the same way we learn by other korbanos, even ones that can be females, such as the shlomim, that the when we talk about bringing the chelev, it means not the chelev of the shlil. So the chelev of the shlil, of the unborn animal, is not offered on the mizbeach. So different mafoshim is the Braise asking, is the Braise asking that maybe you'd be allowed to be mocked with it, and they're saying you're not allowed to be mocked with it. Are we saying that you could be mocked, or that we're saying the Braise is saying you could be mocked with it if you didn't want, and then face the point. Now we have a concept that you want to mention sometimes called in John and Efsha Mishi Efsha, or John and Efsha Mishi Efsha. And we derive something that anyway is impossible to happen from something that, when we derive something that is possible to happen from something that's impossible. Now over here, by definition, again, an Osham can never have a shlil because it's always a male animal. Does that mean we can derive from that to a shlomim where it is possible for it to be a female animal? Or Braisa holds that yes. The point is, in other words, says Rabbi Yochanan, Bishleim Lididi, now according to me, that the baby is considered a full-fledged baby, is considered a full-fledged animal, and the cheder of it would be also an even chayiv paris, hainu de'itzitra, so we have the motu. So therefore we understand the Pasuk is needed to tell us that nevertheless you still, in this case, you don't have the iser to eat it, and you don't have the mitzvah to be mocked with it, and you're not even allowed to be mocked with it. But according to you, if it's not called an animal anyway, and my iser, why would you need a pasuk to tell us otherwise? It's not called a behemoth. Of course, you don't offer the chaylev on the mizbeach. As a matter of fact, this is the basis for my opinion. The very fact that the Torah is telling us that you don't bring the chaylev of the shmil as a korban demonstrates that it's not considered chaylev. So now, even in our case that we were talking about before, where you tore off some chaylev from the animal, and then nevertheless your shlokish says that wouldn't be chayav for us. So precisely from this very fact that we see the Braisa is saying that the chaylev of the shmil is not considered chaylev. The Ikadami, now there's another version of how the discussion went, was the other way around. Another version is that Rish Lakish used this Braisa to ask on Rabbi Yochanan, where we're saying, it means to exclude the Shmuel. Ask Kol Mutzim of Klal Shmuel, the same way we learned by all other Korbanos also that we're excluding Shmuel. So now the Shlokish will say, on the contrary, Bishleim Lididi, according to me, it's understandable. Mishamachim, Miyatir Rahmana, that is exactly why the Torah has to be Mamayatit to tell us it's not Chalim. Elididach, but according to you, if it's considered Chalim, to the extent that you're saying that if a person were to reach in and rip off a piece of it, then he would be Chayav Kodesh, Likrad, why indeed would the Torah tell us that it's not being offered, that should not be offered on the Mizbeach? To be sure, of course, you know, Rabbi Yochanan would agree that the chaylev is mutter when you shechted the animal, like I said before. So then in that case, we're not talking about where you ripped off any chaylev of it. So the Rashba explains, if according to Rabbi Yochanan it was considered chaylev, so fine, you're going to say when you shech the mother and the fat is still inside the womb, it's mutter because tol b'behemah techeilu. So then you would say that it is considered chaylev, but you have a special hetzer for it. But nevertheless, if according to you it's considered full-fledged chaylev, why wouldn't you offer it on the mizbeach? So Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what? It's no different than you have an animal that's underage, which is possible to be brought as a korban. So here you have, imagine an animal is born after a full term pregnancy, and it came out into the world, and everybody agrees it's a behemah, and the chaylev of it would definitely be also in chayav paris. Nevertheless, you can't be makir of it, because you can't be makir of an animal until it's at least on its eighth day of life. So you see that you can have something which is behemoth gemara, and nevertheless you still don't bring the chaylev of it on the mizbeach because you can't bring the animal as a korban at all. The same way you can say there's a special meal to say that you don't bring the chaylev of a shmil, even though it's considered a full fledged animal for all other purposes. The gemara continues. Amar Rabbi, hashoychet as a shreif. Now, how about, till now we've been talking about where the mother was kosher, and now you shechted the mother, and now the baby becomes mutter automatically. Again, if it's not full term, if it's dead according to everybody, and if it's alive and full term, only according to the Chachamim in our Mishnah on Daf Ayin Dalet, and not according to the male. But now, a twist, what about if the mother herself was treif, or mutter, ben tisha chai, and you found inside it a live 9-month baby? Now you're going to have, the opinions are going to be flipped around. Rav Meir, who says that ordinarily a 9-month baby is osir unless you shecht it, here he's going to be matir it, he was going to say that it's mutter when you shecht it itself. In other words, that it will be effective to shecht it, because in other words, the mother's shchita will not have helped for it, so therefore it's considered a regular animal on its own, and its shchita will fully be matir it. But according to the Chachamim in our Mishnah, who say that the baby found alive inside the womb would have been mutter, here oser. Here they would say it's oser because It was the baby of a tzeifa. Its own shchita is not going to be. It can't be mutter with the shchita of the mother because the mother herself was a tzeifa, and it can't be mutter with its own shchita. A shchita of its own is not going to be effective for it because of ben pchua, as we've been saying all along. The Chachamim hold that a ben pchua does not require a shchita. So therefore, in other words, here it's impossible to do a shchita. That will actually be mutter. So in other words, it's shefer, and it's one which is not subject to being shechted on its own. Different achronim talk about what exactly is the nature of the iser on it. Is it considered basically to be a shefer? Is it considered to be even an achai because you can't do shechita to be matir? Is it just called enoi zavuach that it's not shechted because shechita is inapplicable to it? In any case, so therefore, Rabbi says that the Chachamim would actually hold that this baby would be awesome. Rava Amar, on the other hand, Rava says, no, the Dibre Matur Nami Mutter, no, even according to the opinion of the Chachamim and on Mishnah, that the live baby found inside the womb is Mutter without its own Shechita, even according to that opinion, also Mutter, it would also be Mutter to shech this baby. Why? In effect, the Torah is saying when you're saying that you were able to eat the baby that was found in the womb, it means, in other words, in effect, the Torah is saying any two or four simonim that are shechted, not any two, but you have four simonim available. You have two simonim of the mother and two simonim of the baby, and either pair of those can be matched to eat. So, in other words, in the normal circumstance, the mother herself is not a tzeifa. And then you shech the mother, it's two simonim, and with that the baby becomes mutter. Now, if the mother's shchita was not able to be matir, very well, says Rava, you still have available two simonim of the baby itself, and you can shech those, and therefore it'll be fine. So therefore Rava says it will in fact be mutter. Now, in the Mishnah, we did have a case with Korah. We said if you ripped open the mother and found the 9-month baby, then it requires shechita because the mother wasn't shechted. So the Tosfos points out, look, you know, there was no shechita at all. Here we can talk about that there was a shechita, but the mother was shechita. The Gemara continues. There's more opinions on the subject. Amar of Chistash Shetam Tzeifa Umotzeba Ben Teskai. Person shechts a Tzeifa animal and finds a 9-month live baby in the womb. Tone Shechita. Then Rechista holds it's going to require Shechita, which is going to be more like Rava. That it's going to require Shechita because we can't be matter through the shita of the mother, which is Tzeifa, because then it would be considered one of its Eivarim, and then the baby itself would be Tzeifa. You chayev to give the zroyal chayayim and keva of it to a koyin, which we're going to learn near the end of our masechta, that you have those parts of a chulin animal that you have to give to a koyin, because this is a full-fledged shchita of its own. And the pasuk says that you have to give from the zroyv chayazevach, whenever people shech an animal, and this, you need shchita, so therefore it requires zroyal chayayim and keva. The immes, and continues with chista. If these animal guys, though, tohur in the tamei b'masa, then it's tohur in the sense it doesn't have tumas nevela, then to that extent, then it's not matame, a person who carries it, because to that extent, the shchita of the mother will take away the tumas nevela. So even though it itself required shchita, nevertheless, it was to eat it, but nevertheless, to have tumas nevela, it's not going to have, because from that it was saved, but from that it was saved by the shchita of its mother, even though the mother was a tefa. Well, amalei rava, However, Rava says to him, or on the side of here, it says it's supposed to be Rabba, Ton Shchita Kaman. Who are you doing? You're telling, according to which opinion are you saying that it requires Shchita? Who is that like? Kira Meir, evidently like a mayor of our Mishnah. But on the other hand, the Mes Torah and the Talmud Master, Kaman, but when you're saying that when it's dead, then that if it dies without Shchita, then it's Torah, and that it doesn't have Tumas Masa, it doesn't have the Tumah of an Avela. Who would that be? Kaman, Kira Bonan. Evidently that would be like the Rabbanan. The mother's Shchita was effective for it. So what do you say? According to the mayor, it shouldn't make a difference. So what's the difference? So why are you being inconsistent? Why on the one hand are you requiring shchita as if the mother's shchita did not help, and on the other hand you're saying it's not matamat shumas nevela as though the mother's shchita did help? Now, in fact, this is a reason why to say that the questioners are here, Rabba, because Rabba had just said before, Abba Simanim Afshir Batura, that you have four possible Simanim that you could check. So therefore, so he shouldn't have a problem. On the other hand, there are Mephoshim, Rambam explains that Rava knows that answer, but he wants to see if Rav Chisda answers accordingly. And the Ram points out there's still a reason to distinguish, even if Abba Simanim is only if the mother is Ksheira, but if the mother is Tsherefa. Anyway, so Rava or Rabba is asking Rav Chisda that you seem to be inconsistent. Well, Rav Chisda answers, well, according to your svara, then you have to ask, what about what Rav Chisda said? Exactly that. You shechted a trefa, you found in it a 9-month baby alive. It requires shechita. It's chayiv and zerei l'chayayim v'keva. The immes, but if it dies, torah m'latam v'masa, then it's torah, and it doesn't have chumas nevela. So you have to ask in the same brayse. Ton shechita commands for the mayor, the immes, term of the time of Master Pirabalan. So the Bryce seems to have the same inconsistency in it. So why are you asking on me? Why don't you ask on the Bryce? Now Tosfos wonders, Rav Chisda obviously knows the Bryce. He's quoting it to Rava or Rava. So why didn't he quote the Bryce in the first place? So one answer that the Yaakov Emden and the Lev Arya and others give is that other you might have said the Bryce is only going to the mayor, and therefore Rav Chisda says it on his own to say that the Chachamim agree to it as well. And then Rabbi Yaakov Emden also argues again, if we say that it's Rava asking him, Rava was a Talmud of Rav Chisda, he was actually Rav Chisda's son-in-law as well. So Rav Chisda wants to sharpen Rava and see if he can find an answer is there another answer other than saying what answer can you Rava give to say that the Braise itself is not being inconsistent. So Rava answers, Hole Kasha, well that's not a problem. Rav Chiya, in Kram Motze Mes, because Rav Chiya, when he says immes, he means if you already found it dead in the womb. Rav Chisda is not Rav Chiya's Braise is not talking about like you're saying Rav Chisda where the baby was born or was found alive and then later on died. No, Rav Chiya's Braise could be talking about you already found it dead in the womb. So he's going fully like Rav Meir. So if it's alive, it requires shechita. But Rav Meir will agree if you found it dead in the womb, then the shechita of the mother was matir it, and therefore Rav Chisda is just adding. You should know that's not matamei chumas nevela either, for the same reason that the mother wouldn't have. For the same reason that if the mother was a trefa, then neither of them would have chumas nevela either. But according to you, you didn't say kvam motze mes, that you already found it dead, and an amora is always expected to specify more specifically what he's saying, unlike a braise, which can be saying more generically and he has to type it out. So, kasha, so according to you, then you're going inconsistently, partly like the mayor and partly like the chacham. Amalei, so this answers the dinam and kasha. For me, it's not a question either, because like we said before, abba simanim akshavei rachmana, because when it comes to a ben kua, the Torah is matter, any pair of windpipe, any esophagus among the four simanim, meaning in other words, again, that you can either check the mother, and that's matter the baby, or you can check the baby by itself, and that's matter it, like Rava said at the bottom of the previous amud. So it is mutter with the mother's shita, and therefore, but not when the mother was a trefa. If you try to be mutter with the mother's shita, the result would be that you'd say that the baby itself is considered trefa and also to eat. Therefore, necessarily you have to shekel with its own simanim. But the fact is, the mother's shita had a certain effect on it that now it's not matamei chumas nevela anymore if it dies without shita. In other words, in the same way, in other words, if we were to say, if we consider it like part of the mother, and it dies without shechita, very well, the mother was a trefa, the baby is also a trefa, but a trefa is not matame with a trauma of nevela, daraisa, only dirabanan and only by kodshim, like we've learned before. So the same answer, so again, you could say that Rava was asking the question to Rav Chisda because he wanted to see whether Rav Chisda will agree with that svara of Abba Simanim, or you could say that, well, you could say that there is a difference between the cases, or you could say that it wasn't Rava asking him, but rather Rava, and Rava didn't hold of that svara of Abba Simanim, and Rav Chisda tells him about it. Okay. The Gemara continues. Kisolik Reb Zera, when Reb Zera went up from Bavol to Eretz Yisrael, Ashtachay, Reb Asi, he found They found Rav Asi, the Yosef, that he was just saying over this discussion between Rav Chista and Rava. So Rav Zera, when Rav Zera was telling it over, Rav Zera was an enormous Talmud Chacham when he moved from Eretz Yisrael, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and he reported to the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael many teachings and many discussions that had taken place in the yeshivas of Bavel. So Rav Zera was saying this over. Amalei, Rav Asi says Yishar, well done, and said correctly. And Rav Yechanan said the same thing. That Abba Simonim Mechshira Torah, that the Torah is Machir, that the Torah that with this Ben Kapua, that you have any of four Simonim, that you have not any, that you have two Simonim of the mother or two Simonim of the baby, a Dalad Simonim, Achshu Berachmana. That yes, Rav Yechanan. So Rav Asi says you should know Rav Yechanan said the same thing. So now you're saying Rav Yechanan. So Rav Zera asks, does that imply that Rav Shlokish disagrees with that thing? Everybody knew that Rav Yechanan and Rav Shlokish are the two top. Rav Yechanan is the Rosh Hashiva. Rav Shlokish is his companion and Bar Plugta. And usually, if we mention something in the name of Rav Yechanan, it's usually going to be either that Rav Shlokish agrees or disagrees. And if he agrees, it should have said so. But you're saying not. So does that imply that he disagrees? So Rav Asi answers, Misha have a shohi lay, the shofit lay. What happened was, when Rav Yechanan had said this, then Rav Shlokish was pausing. Now Rashi explains that when Rav Shlokish would hear Rav Yechanan saying something, and Rav Shlokish disagrees, he would wait a little while to see if Rav Yechanan would change his mind. So now, Rav Shlokish was waiting, as he usually did, Shosifle, and he was being quiet to see if Rav Yechanan would change his mind. And meanwhile, says Rav Asi, I left the base in Edrash, and so I don't know whether Rav Shlokish ended up making an objection. The Ikadami, others say, Mishnah have a Shosifle, that when Rav Yechanan said this, Rav Shlokish was taking a drink, and therefore he didn't say anything, and therefore again Rav Asi is saying, I went out and I didn't hear the end of it. So either way, Rav Asi is saying, I don't know whether Rav Shlokish disagreed, either because during his usual pause, I left the room, or because he was taking a drink, and I left the room. Okay, but we know it anyway that Rav Yechanan says this. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah, we had three opinions in the Mishnah about when you on Dafayin Dalet, when you found a live baby a live 9-month baby in the womb. According to the Meir, it actually requires shchita of its own. According to the Chachamim, the shchita of the mother is mitaharet and makes it mutar to eat, as we've been talking along this time. And then we had in the Mishnah the Reb Shimon Shizuri Omer, that Reb Shimon Shizuri had said, that even if the baby is 5 years old and plowing in the field, nevertheless the shchita of the mother is matari. So the Gemara asks, Hainu Tanakama. Isn't Rav Shimon Shizuri saying exactly the same thing as the Tanakama? Both of them are saying that the baby, that by virtue of the mother's shchita, the baby, even though it's biologically alive, is still considered shchita. What's the difference? And the answer is, the nachamina between them would be when the baby actually stood and walked on the ground. Hifris is Malachim Parasam. Malachim, it stood on its forebs. According to the Tanakhama, once it stood on its forebs and started walking around, sure, Midaraisa, it's still going to be Mutter, but Midarabanan, we're going to require it to be Shechting. Because otherwise, people are not going to know the distinction between it and a regular animal, and they're going to think that you're allowed to eat an animal without Shechting. So therefore, Midarabanan, we're going to require Shechita for this Ben Pakur. As opposed to according to Rav Shimon Shizuri, we make no such zera, and there's no problem eating it, and there's no problem killing it and eating it, or even according to somebody showing him if it dies on its own, and eating it without shchita. Even though it's plowing in the field, and obviously is walking, around normally on its horses. So, the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Mashavshia. We had this point at the beginning of the parak. The divra omer choshen lezera am. Now, if we follow the opinion, which we're going to learn about in the next parak, that we have to be concerned for the father's seed. Namely, in the next parak, when we talk about osev es b'noi, so we're going to say like this. The Torah tells us you can't check osev es b'noi, a parent animal and a baby animal on the same day. Now, definitely that applies to the mother and the baby, because the mother is unquestionably the mother of this baby. Does it apply to the father as well? We have a machlokas in the next parak where the choshim was zera ha'ag. Do we consider when it comes to animals? Do we take into account the father's genetic contribution as well? In other words, by people we certainly say that a person is the child of his father and the child of his mother. Do we say that by animals as well? We have a machlokas about that in the next parak. So the divrei ha'oim choshim zera ha'ag. According to the opinion, this is going to be the opinion of Chananya in the next parak, that we do have to be concerned about zera ha'av, meaning when you come to an animal, you have to take into account both who its mother was and who its father was. Well, then, ben pekuah bar behema malyasa. So now, if a ben pekuah were to mate with a normal animal, avlad ein lo takana, then, says Rav Mesharshia, the baby, there would be no takana for it. There would be no way of doing it, because in effect, this baby has only one simen that comes from its mother. As far as the second simen, in effect, it would be considered already shechted. And by an animal, you can't shecht only one simen. Now, you can't even say, Rashi says, that you can't even say that it should be considered, fine, you shecht the second one, and it will be considered as though it's a continuation of the shechita of the first one. That would be a major shechita. We learned earlier in the Masechta that you can't have a pause in the middle of a shechita between one simen and another. And here you have a major pause between when the animal is born and when you shecht the other one. Now, Rashi explains that Mesharshia disagrees with the point that we said before about Dalad Simonim Akshabar Rahmana, that in fact there are four possible Simonim, either the true of the mother or the true of the baby. Rav Mesharshia would disagree with that point. So he would say, if you ignore the father, then fine. The father was a Ben Pua, doesn't matter, the mother was a normal animal, and therefore the usual rules of Shita will apply to both mother and baby. But if you hold that Kosham was Zerahav, then it means, in effect, you have to consider this baby inherits one simen from its father, and that simen is considered already shechted by virtue of the father being a ben pur, and it inherits one simen from the mother, and therefore there's no way to, shecht it. Now that's the point of Rashi. Tosfos says, it's like a hesitating thing to have to say. It's not really what. Even if conceivably you could shecht one simen of an animal, how could it be kosher? Each simen would be considered as though half cut, as though it was half cut. You have no loy simen that should be kosher. And even if it wasn't a matter of shahia, what do you mean? Half the body is considered that it wasn't shechted. So it's not even a matter of that it has only one simen or that there's shahia. Tosfos points out, even without those considerations, it would also be also to it would also be impossible to shecht it. So the Mishashi is saying again, if you ignore the father, then fine, it just inherits from its mother and it's good. In fact, Chassam Sofer points out an interesting thing. A Gemara in Nida tells us what are the respective contributions of a father and a mother to a baby. They were talking about a human baby. So in particular, it mentions that the father contributes the white things in the body, including the bones. The mother contributes the red things in the body, including the muscles and things like that. Well, then, the windpipe, the esophagus, so therefore, so what you actually have is the windpipe is all flesh, so therefore that comes from the mother. The esophagus, which as we've learned in the second parak of Amasek, in the first and second parak of Amasek, has a lot of rings of cartilage, would come from the father. So in effect, you really do have one simen from the father and one simen from the mother. Anyway, according to Mesharshia, then if we hold that Choshen was Zera'av, then it would be impossible to shecht the same. Well, the Gemara continues. Amar Abaya, Hakol Moedim Be'uber Kolov. Now everybody would agree. Now going back to Reb Shimon Chazuri and the Chachamim, everybody would agree that if the baby is born with its hooves unsplit, so it's a mutant, unlike a normal kosher animal which has split hooves, here it has its hooves split and ben kapua. And this animal is also a ben pur shemutter. That sort of thing would be mutter. Even the chachamim would allow that. Even the chachamim would allow that without shita. My time. Why is that? Says Abaya. Kol milsi v'tzmiha. Because when you have something strange, midcha dechirila, people are going to remember it. So here, that a baby is born with unsplit hooves is unusual enough. So that will remind people that's also a ben pur. And therefore now, the chachamim was saying once the animal started walking around on the ground, then you have to shecht it midrabanan because you might forget that it was a ben pur. But if it was a kolot, says Abaya, then there's no need for that if the fact that it's a kolot itself is going to keep it in people's minds that it was a ben pur. Ikadamri, another version, Amar Abaya, Hakol Moedim the colored then clipped up. Abaya says another version is that no, it's only when the baby is colored and the mother was also a klota and then pkua. And in addition, this baby was a then pkua, shemutter, then it would be mutter even according to the Chachamim. My time, a train to me, midkirk chiri inchi, because when you have two strange things, then people are going to remember that. The two strange things would be that it itself is a colored. So in other words, so you have, there was a klota, there was a then pkua, and then you shechted this ben pekua, and you found an unborn baby in it, which is also a kolot. So that combination of unusual things, then even the chachamim would allow that second baby without shechita. So the Bach and the Taz explain, in other words, that the point is the two unusual things are that it was two generations of ben pekua and that it was kolot. So in fact, the Shach and the Kodesh HaKesef, in fact, disagrees and says that no, we don't even have to mean that the mother is a ben pekua, we don't even have to mean that the mother is a ben pekua, just the baby, and then the two things is that the mother is a kolot and the baby is a kolot, and the mother is a klota and the baby is a kolot as well, and that alone is considered, and you don't need that both generations are ben pekuas. Okay. The Gemara says, almost the Iri Amr Rav Chanina, Halacha Kereb Shimon Ben Shazuri. The Halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri, that even though the baby walked on the ground, nevertheless it's still Mutter without Shechita. And there's no Gzeira to Rabbanan. V'chein Ho, Rav Shimon Shazuri Matir, B'Bnoi, Ben B'Bnoi, Ad Soif Kol Adoris. And in fact, Rav Shimon Shazuri would allow also the child of the Ben Pekua and the grandchild of the Ben Pekua until the end of generations. There's no concern that they might be mixed up with other animals as long as they're descended from a Ben Pekua. So again, if we say Choshen L'Zera Ab, then that's not going to work, like what Mishar Shia said before. If we hold Ein Choshen L'Zera Ab, then it means that, but it means that even if you say Choshen L'Zera Ab, it would mean, in other words, if you were to mate together a Ben Pekua with a Bas Pekua, then their child would also be Mutter without Shittin. And if then you take that child and made it with another ben pekua and so forth throughout the generations, then it would be mutter. That's according to Ze'iri. Rabbi Yechanan says no. Even according to Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, only the ben pekua itself would be mutter, but the baby if it would be osir, because people are going to already think that's like a regular animal. So the Gemara tells Odo Bar Chovu, that was his name, Odo Bar Chovu, Havala Ben Pekua. He had a Ben Pekua, an animal that had been found alive in the womb like that. The Nuffel Juba Ale, and a wolf caught it, and now, as we learned in the previous Perek, that might make it a trick. Also, the Kamei de Rabashi. So he came to Rabashi to ask, what can he do? Amalei, so Rabashi says, Zil Shachte, go shacht it. Because the Chachamim say that because as we know, the Chachamim say, not like Rav Shimon Shazuri, that it does require shechita. The fact is, this animal did stand on the ground and didn't walk around, and only then the wolf attacked it. So therefore, so Rav Ashi tells him it's still going to require shechita. Now, of course, if it's a shechita, then what good is it do? What good is it going to do? So Tosfos points out, when it comes to shechita, we're going to require shechita, because otherwise it's not going to be well known. People are going to think that you can eat without shechita. But shechitas of an individual animal is not so well known, and therefore there's no problem. People are not going to think when you shech this that it means that you're allowed to eat shechita. So therefore, Rabashi tells him it's no problem. You don't have to be concerned about the dumasa. However, you are going to have to shech. And within that, you have opinions of Rishonim about whether in fact the treifas apply to it, or maybe only external treifas that might be more noticeable. Anyway, Omalei, so Odor Bar Chovu says, apparently it's Odor Bar Chovu with Shtikl Tamid Chacham, and he knew his stuff. So he says, didn't Ze'iri say that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri even to all future generations? And even Rav Yechanan, who disagrees, says that only the baby of the Ben Pekua is not Mutter without Shechita. But even Rav Yechanan agrees that the Ben Pekua itself does not require Shechita. So why are you telling me that I have to shech this animal? Rabbi Yochanan is saying, when he says that it's mutter throughout all the generations, Rabbi Yochanan is not meaning to say that halacha is after Shimon Chazuri. He's just saying it's mutter. He's just saying that even Rabbi Shimon Chazuri would only allow the baby itself, but not the other ones. But in other words, Z'iri is saying the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Chazuri. When Rabbi Yochanan says who mutu b'nai Yosef, he means even within Rabbi Shimon Chazuri's opinion, it would only be the animal itself, but not its baby. Well, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have to hold that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Chazuri, unlike Z'iri. Very well, says Rav Ashi, I'm passing like Rabbi Yochanan, who in turn seems to be holding like the Chachamim against Rabbi Shimon Chazuri. So, Odom Achavu asks, "Va'amar Ravin v'Chanina, Amar Ula, Amar Chanina, Halacha Kedem Shimon Shazuri." Don't we say that the halacha is like Shimon Shazuri? But like, and not only that, I'll call Makom Shoshana and Shimon Shazuri b'Mishasenu. In any place in Mishnayos where Shimon Shazuri makes a statement, halacha k'Moshe, and the halacha is like him. So again, then why are you requiring me to shech this animal? By the way, the Gemara does mention, in as far as this Odom Achavu, the Gemara mentions in Bava Metzia that Bar Bei Chavu in the household of the family of Chavu was a place where there was a family of Sofrim, and they sold Tefillin and Mezuzot over there. So if this Odom Achavu was from that family, then he was obviously a Talmid Chacham enough that he was the regular Sofer for the community. Anyway, the question is, if we see that Rabban Bar Chanina is telling us that the halacha is always like Rav Shimon Chazuri, then the halacha should be like him, and my animal should not require shit. Amalei, so Rav Ashi answers him, yes, but I hold like a different statement that not necessarily is the halacha of Shimon Chazuri always. The halacha is like Shimon Chazuri, that it should only by a person who is in danger of dying in terms of dinim of gittin, which we're going to explain in a second. And as far as trumas ma'aser of dmai, but in other areas says Rav Ashi, the halacha is not necessarily like Rav Shimon Chazuri. So therefore, this is not one of those areas, and therefore I can tell you that this animal requires shechita. What are those two dinim? Mesukan, what's the din as far as a dangerously ill person? Gitnan, we learn in a Mishnah, in Gitin, but it's shown how you're originally the Chacham used to say, Hayotzeb a Koiler, a person who's being taken out in chains to be executed by the Goyish government, the Omer, and he says, Kispul get the Ishti, why to get for my wife? Now, normally, when a person gives instructions, a man gives instructions for a get to be written, it's not enough that he says Kispul, he has to say Tnu, he has to say give the get. Otherwise, we say he just meant it kind of as a joke, or he just meant it as just write it, but hold on to it for the time being. But when a person is dangerously ill, so when a person is about to be taken out and being executed by the government, he forgot, he's in a panic, he's about to die, and therefore he forgot to say tenu. But we can imagine that he meant to say tenu. So therefore, they can write, the Edom can now write the get, and they can actually give it. Later on, the Chachamim redecided and rethought it, and said it's not only in the case of Yotzeb Kola, Afam Afarash by Yotzeb Shiara, also a person who's about to go on a sea voyage, or a person who's about to go on a caravan trip through the desert, they're in a hurry to go, and they may not come back from it alive, and therefore they just say Kisvu, then it's good enough. Reb Shimon Chazuri says also a person who is dangerously ill. So now, in that, the halacha is like Reb Shimon Chazuri, that in that case, you can not only write the get, but also deliver it. So that's one. Trumas Maiser Shav Dmai. Where is the case of Trumas Maiser of Dmai, where Reb Shimon Chazuri disagrees? Now, you have like this. When you buy Dmai, as we know, of course, you have to take Maiser from it to Rabbanon, but if you forgot to before Shabbos, then you can ask the Amah Oretz who sold it to you, and if he tells you we took Maiser from it, then you're able to. The Yerushalmi brings two reasons, Tosfos brings over here. Is it because you're allowed to because covered Shabbos, the Chacham wants you to be able to eat this produce with covered Shabbos, or is it a very interesting thing because the Amir Oretz are afraid of Shabbos, they're afraid to lie on Shabbos. It shows you the level of the Amir Oretz of those days, that they understood Shabbos as such a special day that they can't lie on it. In any case, you can ask them on a Shabbos, and then you can trust them for that Shabbos. Now, what about with Trumas Meiser to Meisha Fozrul Makoima? What happens if you took Trumas Meiser from Demai. So you bought Demai produce from Amoris. You took Meiser and Trumas Meiser from it like you're supposed to. And now, by accident, the Trumas Meiser got mixed back into the produce. So now the problem is, if you don't have 100 times as much, then the whole thing is going to be also, and you have to sell it to a Kohen at a cheaper price, and it's going to be a big loss. So, Reb Shimon Shazuri Omer after Chol Shoyle Va'ufal Piv, Reb Shimon Shazuri says that even on a weekday, you can, in that case, even on a weekday, you can ask Dama'orev. And if he tells you he had taken Meiser, then it means your Trumas Meiser was unnecessary, and therefore it means that now you don't have a problem with Meduma, now you don't have mixed up Trumas Meiser in it, because it turns out your Trumas Meiser was unnecessary. So therefore, so it comes out, So in that case would be another case where the halacha is like Reb Shimon Shazuri, but not necessarily in all the other cases. Tosfos points out that a relevance of that is that there's a Gemara in Shabbos where Reb Shimon Shazuri mentions certain kinds of fuels that you can't use for Shabbos candles, but the halacha would not be like him, and therefore so you have certain ones that you're not allowed to use, as mentioned in the Mishnah over there, but there are other ones that Reb Shimon Shazuri mentions over there that you're not allowed to. Those the halacha would be that you are allowed to. But in any case, the point is, as far as our din, Ben Tekua over here says Yerashi. Now, halacha would not necessarily be like Reb Shimon Shazuri in this case over here with the Ben Pekua, to say that the Ben Pekua itself should be mutter without shkita when it stood on the ground, or that the descendants of it should be mutter, which Rabbi Yechon holds the descendants of it are not mutter anyway. So then in fact it will require shkita. So the bottom line halacha in Shulchan Aruch brings that if hifris agabe karka, then we say it does require shkita, like Rav Ashi is saying over here. But other treifis will not ask it, which is why Rav Ashi can allow other bachovu to eat this animal, even though it was clawed by a wolf, and ought to be considered treifa. If loy hifris agabe karka, then it won't require shkita. And then if parsoisiv klutos, if, as we said, if its boobs are closed up, which is something unusual, then even hifris agabe karka wouldn't require shkita, but Shulchan Aruch finishes yesh megam gemim medaver. Some question that and say that even if it's a kolot, it would still require shchita. And again, then you have the machlokas within the Taz and the Bach on the one hand versus the Shach on the other. What if you have the two unusual things that we talked about before, where again either the mother and the baby are both kolot, or where the mother and the baby are both ben pekua, whether that will be considered an unusual enough thing that people will remember? Do we hold like that, or do we not hold like that? That you have different opinions on the subject.